This is you.
K-U-T.
K-U-T, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your rules. I have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, joined as always by Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to campus.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be back for some more podcast fun here on the Southwestern University campus. I'm glad I caught you today. You've been a busy guy traveling around a lot. You serve on a lot of boards and a lot of commissions, all that have to do with higher education. And I thought it would be a good time to check in today in between these trips to sort of find out what are the topics that you and your colleagues are talking about or kind of at the top of your list these days as issues that are of importance to you in the coming year in higher education?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's basically what you're seeing in the news, what you are seeing in higher ed. Just got back from the Council of Independent Colleges, President's Institute, and then there was Associated Colleges of the South had a presidential retreat. And so the topics are really what we're hearing about nationally, and so implications of the new tax bill and the implications to higher education is something that we're trying to understand. Obviously, immigration issues are really on the forefront. Dreamers and DACA are things that are heavy in higher ed. The costs of higher education remain a real concern. And also the sustainability in terms of, you know, how the costs, not just for the students, but the cost for the institutions. I mean, the costs continue to go up and escalate. And how do you balance that? So making education affordable while also making sure that, you know, institutions will be around for the long term. Obviously, the notion of recruiting and retaining excellent students and students that are the right fit for the individual campus, and making sure that you're bringing in the students who are going to resonate with what they're being offered, and then the overall issue of civility, conversation, free speech. These are things that continue to challenge us all as we try to, you know, take a diversity of perspectives and thoughtful perspectives and try to make meaning of them.
You know, all of those topics that you talked about, every single one of them, as you were saying them, I could think back to a course or a topic that could be studied in a liberal arts education that's applicable to that. Politics, economics, sociology, and geography. I mean, it's just interesting to me that all of those are very wrapped up in what you all are teaching students.
Psychology, sociology, anthropology, history. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, very much so. And Ed, I'm especially interested in one of those you mentioned that we have talked about before. And it seems like every time we talk, it's always sort of on the front burner of everybody's minds. But that idea of civility and civil discourse and free speech, and I would say also managing differences of opinion. You know, we're always talking about how to have fruitful and thoughtful conversations with people who have a variety of viewpoints. That's always a salient topic. What do you see on campus with your students and to the many institutions that you travel to? You know, we're in a time of people have strong opinions and lots of channels and avenues via social media for expressing them.
Right. Well, I think there is an enormous amount of emotional exhaustion due to the discourse. And as you point out, I think social media does not help that, because you just have access to everyone's feelings and everyone's thoughts and then kind of what reality is. And balancing all of that while you're trying to think about big ideas is a challenge. And so I think there's a lot of emotional exhaustion that we're seeing across the country. frankly, I think it's not just relegated to students. I mean, I feel exhausted sometimes, and I'm sure, I know my faculty, I'm sure, do, and I think, you know, the rest of us do as well. But you're seeing that, absolutely.
Do you think that that emotional exhaustion, and I think that's such a vivid and descriptive phrase, do you think that emotional exhaustion has an impact on the learning process, on what students are here to do?
Oh, absolutely. In a variety of ways. First of all, it often will lead what students want to talk about. You know, it leads the conversation. But also, I think it impacts, you know, if you how you feel is going to impact how you learn. And so in some cases, I think it amplifies the conversation that's going on in a classroom. And I think in other cases, it actually distracts from thinking about something because you might be saying, I'm really passionate about this other thing. How could I possibly focus on that when, in fact, I really want to think about this? And so it pulls you. And I think what it does is it makes us less effective because we don't have that kind of focus on here's what I need to be, you know, thinking about. Here's a direction in which I can grow. Here's a direction in which I can actually contribute to society in a positive, long-term, productive way. Versus saying, I'm really, really angry about this thing and I'm going to explode. Well, that's not as effective in a way.
Do you think if you take that this whole situation that you're describing, that whole experience of the emotional exhaustion and the impact that it has, can we bundle all of that together and say, yes, it does can negatively impact the experience, but can it also be a learning experience? Do you think can students and faculty and staff and everybody in a learning community go, wait a minute, something's going on here. Let's look at what's going on, but let's also look at what we can learn from it.
Absolutely. But I think that one's mindset has to be pointing in that direction. So if your mind is not there and someone else comes along and says, hey, why don't we use this as a learning, you know, a moment of learning, you know, they might say, you know, no way, you know, we want to deal with this issue.
I'm too mad and busy to learn.
Well, yeah. And even talking about the notion of civility, you could imagine that some people would actually find that potentially off-putting because maybe you're trying to silence me by having me behave. And civility is not a matter of behaving, but it's a matter of having a respectful discourse with individuals who have thoughtful ideas that might not be on the same page with you. And that is what the academy is about, period. And if that is not your cup of tea, then really a liberal arts environment probably is not a good fit because the idea is you're supposed to welcome different strands of thoughtful ideas and engagement and debate and reflect and analyze them and change.
So, Ed, I always try to welcome a variety of strands of thought and learning in the puzzler. And so
wow.
I'm ready for the puzzler. It has to do with a random walk. I'm remembering this from the previous episode. I'm ready.
Right. So let me remind our listeners what the puzzler was. So you have a street. So think of it as a line if you want, and then it's marked off with numbers. So there's, you know, zero, like the origin, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 going to the right, maybe -1, -2, -3 going to the left. And you are standing at the center point at zero, and you take a coin, you flip it, and it's a fair coin. If it lands one way, you move one unit to the right. If it lands the opposite way, you move one unit or one block to the left. And so, for example, let's say heads, you move to the right. If you see heads, heads, tails, then you'd move one step to the right, one step to the right, and then one step to the left, and so forth. The question is, if you, this is called a random walk, if you flip the coin endlessly and you go for a long random walk, will you eventually return back to where you started? And if so, would you do that more often than just once, or once is the answer? And then, can you generalize this so that suppose that you have many streets? So now imagine like a grid.
Ah, yes.
So you're like on the plane. So you have kind of an X and a Y axis. And so you can have two coins and one coin tells you right or left one unit. And then the other coin you flip and tells you up or down. And then given, you know, there, if you start at the origin and you start to walk around, you know, the plane, will you eventually get back to where you started? And if so, will you do it infinitely often or not?
Well, I'm just dizzy.
Are you dizzy? Well, so am I. So welcome to my world. But I decided that maybe I should treat the puzzle solution itself like the puzzler. So I have here a coin.
Oh.
And what I'm going to do is we're going to see if it lands heads up.
Okay.
I will tell you the answer.
Okay.
And if it lands heads, tails up.
Okay.
Then, in fact, I'm going to make it a mathematical cliffhanger and people get another week to think about it.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Okay. Silence, please. Okay. I'm going to look.
All right.
It's tails.
Oh, we got to wait.
It's a cliffhanger, so people can still keep thinking about it.
What's an interesting question? Saying good things come to those who wait.
Exactly. And not to be angry by the being patient, but in fact, just having the mindfulness of being patient.
I'm going to learn from the time of being patient and think more about the puzzler. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.